Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. Today, I'm joined by JC DeHoop, co-founder of thegistsports.com. It's an accessible online sports community by and for women. This is a fast-growing startup that's taking the world by storm in less than 2 years since they started. Welcome, JC.
Hi, Janice. Thank you for having me.
And thank you and welcome to our listeners from around the world, Mexico, USA, Ireland, Italy, UK, and so many more countries. I'm also really excited to share that you can now pre-order my Fearless book on Chapters Indigo and also at Amazon. Look up Fearless by Janice McDonald, chapters.ca or amazon.ca. Release date, March 3rd, 2020. JC, The Gist Sports, your startup. It's been featured in Forbes 30 Under 30. Tell us about the journey from starting under 2 years ago to now. You and your two partners.
Yeah, sure. So the three of us co-founders, we actually met in university. So we all studied business at Queen's University, and that was where we first met. And really the concept for The Gist came from a personal pain point that the three of us experienced. So after graduating from university, we all moved to Toronto. We were all working in different areas of financial services and really experienced firsthand how sports and that conversation and sports community can still unfortunately really feel like a boys club. And, you know, as a really avid female fan or as a more casual and everyday female fan, there isn't really a source for content for those experiences, whether that's pools, brackets, drafts, or that feeling of community around sports that so many male fans have. And so the three of us one night we're really just catching up over takeout and came up with this concept of creating that really accessible, inclusive, and really fun space for female fans. And so that's where The Gist was born. The idea came to us in, I think it was February of 2017. And about 10 months later, at the end of 2017, was when we launched The Gist to our family and friends and colleagues. And yeah, fast forward to now coming to the close of 2019, we've now launched in three different markets. So Toronto, Ottawa, and Philadelphia, as well as in the US, and then obviously a Canada-wide kind of offering as well. And then, yeah, the most recent kind of accolade is that we were recently featured in Forbes 30 Under 30, which we were super, super excited about, very surprised by, but was a really amazing end to our 2019.
And so what does it mean to your company to actually get profiled in the Forbes 30 Under 30?
Yeah, it means a few different things from a business standpoint, I would say, and then different things from a personal standpoint as well. From a business standpoint, you know, our offering is really a free twice weekly newsletter that provides the gist of what's going on in the sports world and a really authentic and fun female voice that, again, we just felt was really missing in that sports media landscape, that feeling of getting your sports updates from your sports obsessed best friend kind of thing. And so that's our real main offering. And so one of the main metrics for our business is growth to that newsletter list. And so we kind of count our total community size as those who have subscribed to our newsletter, as well as those who are following us on our social media channels. We have primarily a female millennial demographic. So Instagram is a huge, huge channel for us and is also where you can receive daily kind of updates from The Gist. And you can follow us at thegistnews.ca if you're in Canada, or at The Gist USA on the US side. So in terms of our actual growth of our community, which is a really big metric for us, especially when we're speaking with, you know, prospective investors, brand partners that are paying us, et cetera. And so any and all press coverage we've been able to receive has been a huge growth driver for us, and also a source of where really engaged subscribers come from too. I think I mentioned that we just launched in the US on September 5th, so with the start of football season. So we're really, really new to the States. So for us to be able to have an article written up on us in Forbes and to have this award meant a lot for us just with our growth in the US from a kind of business metric standpoint. And then on a personal note too, you know, Forbes 30 Under 30 is a list that I think all three of us would kind of scroll through back in the day when we were sitting in our finance jobs. And so for us to actually be featured in this publication that is obviously focused on the US, but is really global and just has amazing reach was something that we're really proud of. And again, very surprised by, but we're so happy with it as well.
It's amazing. It's so validating.
Yeah, definitely.
So cool. All right. So your three partners, how do you make decisions? Because sometimes you're going to see things and that's the strength, right? You're all bringing different perspectives, but how do you finally come to a decision?
Yeah. I mean, we're so fortunate to have each other. I think that's something that over the last 2 years, that's really been like the core of our business is really the partnership between us three and really the respect and love that we have for each other. And so really early on, we delineated what each of our kind of portfolio areas were going to be. Ellen, of the three of us, and just in general, as an crazy avid sports fan, her breadth and depth of sports knowledge is unparalleled. I've never seen anything like it just from being her friend. I feel like I always know what's going on in sports. So it was a very natural fit for Ellen to really lead our content strategy.
Yeah.
And so that means, you know, the content that's going into the newsletter, you know, which female athletes we're talking about, which male athletes we're talking about, the voice and the tone and really honing that and receiving feedback from our audience on what's the most interesting to them, which sports to feature, et cetera, as well as our channel strategy. So that might mean, you know, our newsletter was the very first offering that we had, but we're actually looking into other mediums such as podcasting and the audio space to come as well. And so that all falls under Ellen's kind of area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And then myself, I oversee all of our growth and monetization. So that means growth of the community. So, you know, when we get into Forbes, I'm checking on those numbers and seeing how subscribers are coming in, as well as the monetization of our platform. So that means all the business development and partnerships that are developed. And then lastly, Roz is our CPA CA. So she has such an analytical mind and she oversees all of our finance and operations as well as more of the data and analytics side. So she works really closely with both Elle and I on making sure that everything's moving forward, keeping us in check and really looking at the numbers and making sure we're tracking towards our goals as well. And so having that kind of structure early on really helps us in that decision making where we each have ownership over our respective areas. But we're also just incredibly collaborative. We've been friends for about 10 years now. So we know each other's strengths and weaknesses relatively well. And we try to discuss, you know, everything as a team. I think that's what has been a huge strength of ours is that we do have three minds kind of making those decisions and working together. And while we each have our different portfolios, you know, we're a small company and we all are so invested in this business that the reality is we're all making decisions across all different areas of the business. But yeah, we try and really discuss things as a team and we're all quite analytical as well. So we'll usually have some sort of, you know, weighted decision matrix for some of those larger decisions. But you know, what we've also found when it comes down to it, what might come out of that decision matrix and what you're kind of feeling intuitively don't always match up. And so we do try to trust our gut as well and really to talk through things as a team.
Yeah. And that Queen's business training doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're very fortunate to have learned a lot from our undergrad. And honestly, to have the network from Queen's and the Commerce program there as well has been incredibly helpful for us.
So James Cameron, the famous director, once said, if you set your goals ridiculously high and it's a failure, you'll fail above everyone else's success. So tell me about a time when JC, you were fearless. And do you have a favorite mantra or jam that you use to get yourself through it?
Favorite mantra or jam? Yeah. I mean, a time that I was fearless, I guess. This is an interesting question because, and I had a friend ask me this yesterday. I mentioned that we met with a really, really big time kind of investor startup, like a guy that's just very well known in the kind of tech startup space. Mm-hmm. And she asked, she was like, do you even get nervous for meetings like that anymore? And I was kind of like, oh my gosh, of course, I get so nervous before most of our meetings. So I think what I've been realizing is that I wouldn't say there are many instances where I've been fearless, but what I've been trying to really embrace is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, every day, honestly, hour to hour, there are things that I don't, that feel very outside of my comfort zone, that I don't feel like I have, you know, the experience, the expertise in that space. Like for all three of us, this is a totally new industry. We don't have a network in sports, in media, in technology. There are so many other people that have so much experience and just know-how in these areas that we don't. And so there's always a level of imposter syndrome, I think, in a lot of what we're doing, but, you know, trying to keep in mind that that's okay. And that we're the ones that decided to do this. And there's a reason that we've come this far has been really what's helped that. And so I think a specific instance of when I was definitely still really nervous, but I think that I acted with relative fearlessness would be just a few months ago when we had our big demo day presentation. And so that's something that at the end of an accelerator program, there's typically this big demo day pitch in front of hundreds of investors and just really important people. And it's usually a 3 to 5 minute pitch on your business. And so while we've done a lot of pitching in the past, this was definitely the largest scale. This was down in Philadelphia. There were something like 500 people there and just a really high stakes kind of setting. And we had months and months of prep. Everything was being filmed. You know, it was just very like high production as well. So, you know, standing there, and I was actually the first one to kick off all of the pitches. And so standing there in that moment before you're about to get up in front of 500 people and however many more it's being live broadcast to, mm-hmm. and really try and sell your business is something that's really, really scary.
And I would say though, JC, at the same time, something that comes so naturally, right? Because it's your business. You know it. You're excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I found too. We would actually film ourselves pitching. And what makes a huge difference in your presentation and the way I think that the business can come across is honestly the founders, whether the founders like real passion for the business mm-hmm. comes through. And I was finding, you know, when watching myself, it's like when I'm really able to show that and show how much fun we're having doing this too, is when it's so much more impactful. So yeah. And I don't know if there's a specific mantra that really kind of helps me in those moments. I know, yeah, honestly, having my co-founders there and even just like a quick glance mm-hmm. can really help in those moments when you're like, need to just kind of calm your nerves before getting up on the big stage kind of thing.
So you must be getting offers to be acquired, and certainly there's lots of investment opportunities. Who do the three of you turn to for business advice?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate to have quite a roster of amazing mentors that have worked with us over the past 2 years. And it's really been only just over a year, almost a year and a half now, since we've actually been working on the Gist full time too. Mm-hmm. So it's been a pretty short time period. But in that time, we've made a really conceited effort to make connections in this space with people that can really help us. The first person that comes to mind is another Canadian entrepreneur, and he's been running an incredibly successful business out of Kelowna, mm-hmm. BC. And it was one of those things where we were introduced to him, you know, through a friend of an acquaintance and very loose connection. And he's been somebody that we call whenever we have, you know, something that a really difficult decision, and sometimes even not with a difficult decision, just to have somebody who's going through something similar to you, but, you know, went through our phase of the business years and years ago.
In media?
No, it's a relatively different business model. And still, you know, I would say there's an ad promotional space. So he's the founder of Get in the Loop. Mm. So it's promotional based. It's an app. But what's been really, really impactful with his advice is honestly speaking with another founder who's gone through it a few years before us. Mm-hmm. There's something about, yeah, just understanding like the ups and downs and having that relatability that's been really helpful. And for us, it hasn't needed to be somebody that's specifically in a similar industry. Mm-hmm. There are definitely crossovers. It's been somebody who just really genuinely, really, really genuinely believes in us and wants to help. And in a lot of cases too, who we've found to be the most effective mentors are those people that have really believed in us from the beginning. I think that there are a lot of naysayers or people that will always be really critical. And it's so important to receive that feedback.
To a degree.
Yeah.
You know, like really to a degree, because they're the critics are the easiest ones to find.
Yes.
You know, it's more to hang out with your champions and cheerleaders, in my view, anyways.
Yeah. And that's something that I think we needed to learn for ourselves, too, to a certain extent. We had a lot of amazing, smart people that would kind of say, and who had a ton of experience in the space, that would kind of say, I don't see how this could be a $1 billion company or something like that. Mm-hmm. But which, you know, is really great feedback to receive too. You always want to be hearing feedback from diverse perspectives, but it's also those people that from the get-go were just like, you know, I just know that this is a team that's going to figure it out and that really believes in you, has been super important for us.
Especially on the wild ride, roller coaster ride of entrepreneurship. You need the ups because the downs do come, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 10-year-old JC, what was that girl like? Where were you living? What were you into?
Yeah, so my 10-year-old self, I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, which is also where I went to university, actually. But my parents moved to Vancouver while I was in school. So it was kind of an interesting paradox where I was in university where I grew up, but it was a very different environment. And growing up, so I have a younger sister. Both of us played a ton of sports, as you can imagine. So we're really fortunate to have parents that put us in every single sport. And had a lot of room to discover what we were most interested in, whether that was dance or hockey or sailing or soccer, you know, from the traditional to the non-traditional ends of the spectrum. And yeah, whether it was team sports, individual sports. And I think that's been a huge part of, obviously, of who I've become, with just the impact that sports has had on me. But I also am just a very firm believer that sports can really teach you so much about yourself, about teamwork, about work ethic. And it really, there's so many transferable skills that I think from a young age, I'm so fortunate to have played, you know, both recreational and really competitive high level sports. My 10-year-old self, I've always been, you know, yeah, I've always loved sports and I've also always been very competitive. So I remember, yeah, with every sport, just wanting to perform well. And whether that was in the classroom, on the field, what have you. But, you know, there are a lot of interesting things too. When I look back on my 10-year-old self, like Kingston is it's a pretty small place too. Like I have a mixed background. So my mom is Chinese. She's from Hong Kong. And my dad grew up in Kingston. And so, you know, there weren't a lot of people that looked like me. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you look back on your upbringing and how, you know, going to a predominantly white school and those kinds of things really mm-hmm. color your perspective when you're growing up, versus now that I live in Toronto, that is incredibly diverse, and we're traveling all over the place to really diverse cities as well. Yeah, has been something that more recently I've reflected on, and I think definitely factors into, yeah, just your outlook on certain things and how you interpret the world as well.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, sometimes that feeling of other as a young girl might have shaped who you are.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really the premise of the GIST, right? It's mm-hmm. to improve accessibility, inclusivity around a topic that hasn't traditionally felt like it's for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I absolutely think that that happens in sports, but it happens in so many other spaces, and that where we can improve that diversity, improve that sense of inclusion is incredibly important. And so, yeah, I think that even from a young age, that's been something that's been important to me.
So what, if anything, does the world have wrong about your generation?
Yeah, it's interesting when I see, and so I would classify myself as a millennial. I'm 27 years old, so I think I fall right in that age bracket. And it is really interesting to me when I see that. I think that there is a stereotype that millennials can be really lazy, or I know in my previous places of work too, that there's, you know, higher turnover than there was before. And there's this concept that my generation has a sense of entitlement or a laziness kind of thing, which I really don't believe at all. I think that if anything, myself and my generation are incredibly hardworking, and it needs to be, you need to feel like you're working really hard for the right thing. And so people are incredibly motivated, are incredibly passionate. And when they find that thing that they really and truly care about, they're going to be working incredibly hard and doing everything that they can to see that be a success. And then if it's something that they're not incredibly passionate about, they're not going to dedicate that level of time. That's been something that I feel like I've experienced from being on very different ends of the spectrum, you know, being in a really corporate environment where, and you know, there'll be people that are really passionate about, I guess, a more corporate kind of job, don't get me wrong. But obviously in the startup space, it's kind of the motivation and passion is on a whole other level. And it's been, it's been incredibly amazing to be surrounded by so many really hardworking and passionate millennials. I think that that's, I don't think that stereotype is true.
I agree. Maybe the avocado toast is true, but
I know I'm eating it way too often. I don't know why.
But everything else, I agree with you. I'm delighted to work with millennials, and I think your view of the world is beautiful. What's something, JC, you wish you knew earlier?
Well, there's so many things.
long list. Just pick one.
I think that especially in my first few years out of university, I mentioned an imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really natural to feel, especially as a young woman, when you're in the workforce and you don't, again, have a lot of experience and you're surrounded by people who seem to speak more authoritatively than you and really know a lot on a certain topic. And that's, mm-hmm. that can be the feeling, I think, especially, and again, it's something that I certainly felt in my first few years, really in the workforce. And something that I wish I hadn't, I guess, taken for granted was really the importance of betting on yourself, mm-hmm. and realizing that, that whether, even though you feel, again, really uncomfortable or kind of nervous, or that feeling of imposter syndrome in that situation, that like recognizing that you'll be able to figure it out and that, you know, you do deserve to be there. You do deserve to be heard and have a seat at the table kind of thing is something that I'm still learning right now, trying to remind myself of frequently. But it's something that I think I really could have benefited from in my first few years of being, really in the workforce as well.
Mm-hmm. And you also have to take that place at the table, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than wait for somebody to give you permission to go there, you got to take it. So here's a question for you. You did biz school. Do you have a favorite business book?
A favorite business book. So my favorite book that I find myself going back to all the time is called The Lean Startup.
Yeah.
And
it's a great book. Yeah,
it's an excellent book. I didn't read it in business school. And it's interesting because I think that business school is changing in a lot of ways as I'm speaking with students who are at Queen's and at other schools now about what they're learning about, whether it's digital marketing, whether it's more the entrepreneurial kind of path. But that was definitely not something that I was exposed to in my 4 years at Queen's. Mm-hmm. And so I read The Lean Startup right when we were all quitting our jobs and really going full time with The Gist. And Roslyn is my co-founder, she devours books and is always reading and always learning from new spaces kind of thing. And so she first read it and then was like to myself and Ellen, was like, you guys have to read this book.
Signed homework.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I'm definitely somebody who will, you know, with a business book, I'll skim it, not necessarily like read word for word, but it's one that I do come back to because I do think that iterative approach and that real test and learn mentality is so important to keep in mind, especially, you know, with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And The Gist is really building this community of female fans. It's a really new space. Like there isn't another player that's doing this, and there isn't another player that knows a lot about the female fan and what she's most interested in and how to best serve her. And so it's so important for us, and we're really creating that. And so it's so important that we are constantly listening to our audience, seeing what the data is telling us, running multiple tests in market to kind of see what's resonating and what's not. Mm-hmm. And so Lean Analytics has just been, or the Lean Startup rather. There's also Lean Analytics is, I think, the second one in this series that's a little bit more focused on the analytics side. But it's just, I think it's just a really important mentality in a startup and honestly in any job and in life in general. general as well.
I agree. And I would say, too, not only are you out front paving the way and nobody else is doing it, but at the same time, you also are doing some myth busting around what a female fan is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are a lot of preconceived notions of what female fans want, whether that's a shrunken pink jersey or what have you. And
right.
It's super important for us to really learn from our audience and listen to them and be advocates for them as well in the greater sports landscape.
Mm-hmm. And for so many of us that have played sports and competitive sports, to have this sense that we're only fans and not players can be frustrating too.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So final question, what, JC, is your dream for Canada?
My dream for Canada. Well, it's been a really interesting experience because I mentioned that our team moved down to the States from July until October of this year. So we were down there for a few months and then we've been traveling back and forth quite a bit. And it's always interesting to get the American perspective on us Canadians and on the startup environment and the investment environment and what all of that is like. And it really, spending that time down south, you know, I think we take a lot of things for granted as Canadians, and I think that we're so fortunate to live in a place where the tech ecosystem is really booming, where I think diversity and inclusion is also only on its way up. You know, in our business and with our business model, the U.S. just from a sheer population standpoint is a massive market for us and is incredibly important. But my dream for Canada and what our hope is really that, you know, we can continue operating this business and growing it like crazy from here in Toronto, and that we'll always have the resources and the support of, you know, the tech ecosystem and the startup landscape, both at a local level here in Toronto, but at a provincial and federal level, so that Toronto and Canada in general really becomes an innovation hub where companies like ours want to stay and thrive. Because I do think, you know, we've been exposed to this so many times where different startups will go down to the US to raise money or will kind of move their whole team down to Silicon Valley or wherever else. But my dream would be that changes. And I think we're absolutely on that path already. We're experiencing it. We're seeing how people regard Toronto from a kind of tech and startup perspective. So I think that we're absolutely on that path. But yeah, that would be amazing. Like we want to live here. We love this country. There's so many amazing things about it that I think it's really easy to take for granted as well, which is what we experienced when we were down in the States too.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree more. You're so inspiring. It's so amazing and exciting, JC, to hear the absolutely incredible success you and your co-founders are having. Again, the website is thegistsports.com. JC DeHoop, co-founder, thank you so much for being on the Fearless Women podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Janice. This is really nice.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, 30% Club Canada, BDC, Lockheed Martin, Export Development Canada, and ADCA. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to the 30% Club Canada for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. The 30% Club believes that gender balance on boards and in senior management not only encourages better leadership and governance, but diversity further contributes to better all-around board performance and ultimately increased corporate performance for both companies and their shareholders. Want to learn more? Visit their website, 30percentclub.org, and select the Canada chapter to find out about membership, supporters, and key resources. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.